The Board of Education regular meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Decker, will you call the roll?
Mr. Black?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Kenley? Mr. Bondurant?
Here.
Howard?
Here.
Nelson?
Here. Are there any members of the public that wish to address the board at this time? Seeing none. First item of business is presentations, reports, and initiative updates.
This is an annual review of the year. It's a summary. You have really been through all of these items at some point throughout the year. And so it shouldn't, none of this is really comes as a surprise to you, but we'd like to provide you with the one last shot as we conclude this year in terms of all of the things that we've worked on over the course of the year. So we've broken it down really in terms of the goal areas that our new long-range plan will cover. Even though all of those goal areas certainly have always been incorporated, we've made those distinct goals as well. So this, again, is a transition between the first plan that we established in 2006 when I arrived in the district, and the new plan that will begin next year. Okay, so this year, some really big things happened in teaching and learning, as well as a lot of new challenges are coming down the pike for us in a variety of ways, some which we don't even have listed up here. But we implemented our standards-based reporting system for all students this year. As you know, we had a pilot the previous year of 100-plus teachers, but this year everyone moved over to the standards-based report card. And implementation has been consuming for Karen, to say the least. I worried at one point earlier in the year that she had become a full-time pinnacle implementer and spending a good deal of her time helping teachers feel comfortable and getting used to inputting their information. But I think we've made huge gains in terms of that comfort level for teachers and as well as an understanding. And you know, I would highlight here, because it has some relevance to our next area. This district 5 years ago was not a standards-based district, did not look at either national or state standards really in terms of the explicit curriculum. And so being able to move in 5 years to standards-based curricula in all of our subject areas and then begin not only the teaching and learning to the standards, but also the reporting and the conversations with students as well as families is a large, large area for growth that we've, I think we're pretty proud about. Mm-hmm. I know there are mixed feelings in some quarters relative to standards-based reporting, and that's a huge change for us in terms of moving from an A, B, C, D, or a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to really looking at what is learning, how is learning occurring against standards. And you may have questions about that, and we can come back to that. To complicate our lives, however, you know, now that we've gotten this established, we have the Common Core and the new standards for the state of Illinois, which will begin implementation in the fall of 2011. For us in the area of literacy first, math to follow, and science and social studies are still under development. We expect that science will be completed this summer sometime, and now they're saying social studies out another 4 year, perhaps 2012. But we ultimately will have Common Core standards in all of our subject areas, but we will begin the implementation, which will require some tweaking of the standards-based report card. But our teachers have been working all year under Karen's leadership, along with our literacy specialists and our math specialists, to go back and look at our curricula, look at the Common Core, and what kind of changes are going to be required. You've heard Karen say that the Common Core presents a much more rigorous approach to the standards and
So going back in and looking to see when we teach things, what we teach, the language we use around what we're teaching is something that we had large conversations around.
And just to give you an example of the kind of work they've been doing, this is just one small example of how they've been looking at the alignment activity for what we had as the core, or what we had as our standards, and what is now being introduced. So the standards, as they've always been, will be the same standards across all grade levels. But what they look like and what will be needed to adjust our own curricula is what they've been working on. And so their sort of working template looks at the steps that we have to take, the differentiation, and the supports that would go into that differentiation or intervention, because RTI, as well, is now a mandate in our work and how we implement curriculum. So this is just gives you the work that they've been doing. And Karen, you meet, what, every other week, it seems like? Every other week, 4 to 6, after work, about 25 teachers coming in and working to get this work done. They'll work throughout the summer so that we can have full implementation in literacy in the fall. Now you have to do it. Response to intervention is something that is a federal mandate, and that means that all Gen Ed or general education students must have in place a plan if first instruction, which is general instruction to all students, does not produce learning results as we would expect them to produce. A group worked all through last year, developed a protocol, developed all of the procedures that we would use this year. But I will say this is the first year that RTI is fully implemented in our district. Some districts are ahead of us in that arena. And like all things that mean we have to look at instruction differently, classroom teachers have had some adjustments to make. But I think we've, again, made great progress here. And what we're seeing is the significance of TLT, our targeted learning time. We're seeing the significance of the collaboration time that teachers have at grade levels to be able to really develop common assessments, common responses, and then the escalating responses to intervention as needed. Curriculum writing, we had all of our curricula, core curriculum, revised since 2006, and this summer and throughout the beginning really last fall, but escalating through this summer will be revisions of our ESL bilingual curriculum. We had early childhood revisions last year, and we're also having special education curriculum review this summer. So those three curricular areas will be worked on this summer. Those will be really the final program evaluation implementations and curriculum that has not been reviewed. Blended preschool for us this year was a first implementation of that, and something that came again out of a program evaluation, and something that is identified throughout the country as a best practice. Last board meeting we saw that presentation. Mm-hmm. We're very excited about that and the opportunity to expand that next year. We've taken a strong look at bullying in our schools in response to the reality of this phenomenon across the country. And so the task force this year, which you've heard from, did a fabulous job in looking at the research, and this summer will be the time to create the common voice, really. I'm not going to use the word of curriculum, because curriculum sounds like it's something separate, something that is added to as opposed to something that is embedded and becomes a part of the culture of how we do business and the language we use and the expectations we have for students, the activities we host for them throughout the year. Because social-emotional learning standards are also a part of our curriculum, also a part of response to intervention, these things that need to be addressed in an explicit manner already have a place to have that done within our existing structures. But it is essential that we create common language around those expectations and those responses.
In the area of technology, very recently you saw our long-range technology plan, as well as several purchases that have come forward to you over the last couple of board meetings in order to get us a full implementation of that long-range plan. One of the things that is a little bit more subtle that has been an initiative coming out of Mike's office, and in particular Christina Callum, who leads our instructional technology efforts in the district, is building capacity around teacher leaders for use of technology and finding those teachers, working with those teachers who have built a repertoire themselves and are using technology in a variety of ways. Two specific examples would be the Institute Day, the Technology Institute Day that we hosted for the last 2 years, which is a little bit like a conference, but is teacher-led, as well as two schools who have entered into a partnership this year with schools across the country to learn together online, have exchanges, and build leadership and capacity within their schools for technology. Those two schools were Churchill and Ben Franklin. We're looking at putting more technology in the hands of students every year, and instead of saying it's going to have to be a single platform, we're looking at ways in which we can put multiple kinds of technology into students' hands and in teachers' hands, so that as we build that one-to-one access, it doesn't mean every student has a laptop necessarily, but it means that every student throughout the course of their day will have access to some kind of technology, handheld, laptops, mm-hmm. netbooks, whatever it might be. And so we made huge gains in that area. As you know, smart boards, the implementation for smart boards should be complete next year. And I think one of Mike's big goals is that we do become more web-based. If you were in finance, you heard him talking about that one of his long-range goals is to reduce, and I never heard this before, but reduce our server footprint, you know, like our carbon footprint, but to be able to have less of our labor associated with taking care of that kind of infrastructure and having the capacity to be web-based will allow our staff to be able to do the work that they need to do in buildings. Because the demand there is obviously increasing. We're not increasing staff, but the demand with more technology mm-hmm. increases the needs that we have at the building. That's technology. Finance and facilities. We have continued to implement that long-range financial plan, look for continued ways to reduce our expenditures while not reducing quality of educational experiences for students and not changing the dynamic that we have in teacher-student relationships. I think, this is probably really more than $600,000, and I think we have a total of $633,000 or something like that. In the board report, I believe there's probably more. I've asked Bob to start keeping a list of every time we save dollars, just mm-hmm. to keep a running list, mm-hmm. even if it's $10,000, $3,000. But this year, we made significant reduction in expenditures simply by getting good deals, going out, building partnerships, relationships with others. And so we're very, very proud of that work that's occurred in the finance office this year. Another area which you've heard in our audit, which was the cross-training, creating those internal controls. And again, kudos to both HR and our finance department, where cross-training is occurring in an ongoing manner as they work with Skyward, they work with the infrastructure, the structures that we have established here, so that we have people who are able to do crossover work and we have the capacity for checking and double-checking our work and making sure that there's integrity behind it. And I think that's, again, if you look back 5 years where the expectation wasn't there for that kind of cross-training, the capacity wasn't there for that kind of cross-training, and certainly the tools were not in place for that. That's been a large change, and again, it's a requirement of a mindset that changes. Just like instruction in the classroom has to change as our expectations have changed, so do our operational mindsets have to change. The master facilities site recommendations, we are continuing to move forward.
You know, our master facilities plan is still chugging along, but we are not losing sight of the recommendations that come out of those site committees and the work that needs to be done in each of our buildings. Bob talked a little bit at finance about our 10-year capital plan. We really have a 20-year capital plan, but that's a little bit out. But looking at, even if we do nothing to address capacity issues in our district, we still have facility issues that must be addressed over time. And we must recognize that we are in the 21st century and that we have to do whatever it is we can to create classrooms that meet the needs of learners in those environments. And so we've continued to move forward with many of those things. And some, you know, came to us without even being a part of the MFP, but should have been. The stage at Lincoln is a good example of that. And the acoustics at Lincoln were a good example of that. But those things find their way in the site committee reports. The fact that we are painting next year, a painting 5 year, I think we're going to try and shorten it, not make it 5 years, but we are painting each of our schools. And so as we've been looking at this 21st century classroom, if you've been in your schools lately, you'll notice that Bob has always offered, if we needed to touch something up, you could get your office white, is that what we call it? some kind of white, that all of our schools are built on white. What we do know is that the color of an environment also has an impact on how learning occurs and how students feel within that environment. And so Lincoln is the first school on the docket to be painted next year, and I'm just going to pass around for you the palette that Lincoln will have as part of its painting. So while much of the school will be white, there will also be key areas that will be different colors. And each of our classrooms on the teaching wall will have an accent color, and then there will be another accent color somewhere else in the room. As we visited the schools that have done some renovations within their rooms, mm-hmm. color is very prevalent and it's very purposeful. And so as we look to create our rooms that we think are more appropriate for 21st century learning, even though we can't make the changes we'd like to make at this point, painting will be a part of that. And so those are the colors that will, as you come into Lincoln, you'll see some bold colors right away in the entryway, and then each classroom, and there'll be colors that lead you through the building. Though some schools do wings of different colors, at least at Lincoln, we'll use the single palette throughout the whole. It won't be one wing will be this, but because of the way that building is built and structured. So we're very excited about that, and thrilled that we were able to move in that direction for 21st century learning. You also know that we decided to take two classrooms at each building and look at furniture and the way that room is designed with just the things we can change to look at what kind of classrooms we want for the 21st century. And we have some examples of what we talked about during the master facilities process that in terms of an elementary building, we want to make sure that there are places for individual activity, that there's places for traditional learning, group activity, and cooperative work, as well as bringing the outside into the classroom as much as we possibly can. That in learning, all of these things make up the learning environment, and flexibility is one of those key areas, as well as being able to connect outside the four walls of the classroom. So we think we've begun to create the structure for those classrooms with the smart boards, with greater wireless capacity, now with painting, and then some of our classrooms with furniture. The teachers who will be participating in this are teachers who are ready to move to a classroom where maybe not a desk for every student, but a seat for every student. And so meaning that you may not have 25 desks, you may have 17 desks with high-top tables or some other configuration on which students would sit, but knowing that for the most part students are not going to just sit in desks, that they are, the configuration of the room will be such that it will be, learning will be occurring in a little different manner.
Now, I will reference back to Bob Solak, who asked a question when we first started talking about this. Does that mean that my student who's in a 21st century classroom this year, next year is going to go and it's going to be five across, six deep? None of our teachers are teachers. You know, that would be a rare occurrence to walk into a classroom and see everybody teaching in rows. So the style of teaching, the instructional strategies that our teachers are using are already making those changes. But our furniture has not made the change with it. So that's the experimentation. And I will also tell you that the schools that aren't getting painted this year, the classrooms that will be the 21st century classrooms will get painted. Mm-hmm. So that they'll get, the school will get a chance to see what their new paint will be. These are some possible configurations that we've seen, and we see those things now. But because of the size of our classrooms, and this is something we're going to have to be thinking about in the future, our classrooms vary significantly in size. We have some large classrooms where we can do a lot of things, and we have some very small classrooms that are really hampered. But this would be ideal, where you have the ability for performance, some kind of public address, you have project area spaces, you have spaces where students can work in small groups where they have the ability to work individually and independently and quietly, and that there are comfortable places where students can in fact feel as though the learning that they're doing is much more home-like than institutional. And that is what we'll strive to achieve over the course of the next several years as we see that as part of our implementation of the Master Facilities Plan, short of doing, you know, a large capital renovation. In human resources, we've continued to look at professional development and build a systemic approach to growing teachers, our learning, what we learn from each other. And of course, we've done several structural things, such as implementing collaboration time, because we know that embedded professional development within your work setting is the most effective. And then we complement that by the work that comes out of Lori's office through PDT and the institute days that we have throughout the year, that those things build not only on the long-range plan as our foundation, but build on what the schools need in their embedded professional development on an annual basis. The PDT works really a year in advance, often 2 years in advance, in order to look at what we will need coming down the pike and how to prepare for that. I will say, and I think this is a topic for us to have further conversation about. I think we've had this conversation since I came here, but the learning that has to occur in our teachers is deep and broad, because the whole face of education is changing so dramatically, and what teachers need to be prepared to do and how many students they need to be prepared to do it for is significant. And so learning for our teachers is, I don't see in the foreseeable future diminishing, that the demand on what they'll have to be faced with in learning is going to just increase. I'm repeating here that targeting 21st century learners through technology as well as RTI, PBIS, which our individual schools have taken on, and their school improvement processes all align back to the system approach to professional development. We continue to hire and recruit for diversity. This is an important initiative for us that we've had for the last 3 or 4 years, and that is that our teaching staff should mirror our student population. And striving to reach that marker is somewhat challenging. We need to hire more males. We need to hire more minority and second language candidates. Sometimes that can be a challenge, but Lori's done a great job in terms of her attendance at job fairs, very time intensive and often yields not exactly what you want, but something that you feel is necessary in order to get out and see where the candidates are and ask them to come in and do a screening.
The other thing that is a challenge, it's probably hard to imagine, is that on our applications, we may have over 1,000 applicants for positions and for gen ed classroom teacher. Not necessarily your specialty, but so finding those candidates that meet these targets can be daunting because, of course, they're not things that are revealed in an application process as well. Mm-hmm. You may only, we can pretty much get that one. Others may not. And finally, a new focus for us is wellness. And this wellness is coming to us both from mandates in the law as well as our own belief in focusing on our adults and wellness through consideration of health benefits and that sort of thing. But Lori has formed a health wellness committee to be in alignment with the school code and the regulations of the state of Illinois and focusing on surveying our constituents, aligning with perhaps the Parent Involvement Committee as they do a wellness event annually, and aligning with PTA in order to really target wellness in our community. And what does that mean for families around curriculum, around involvement activities, around the kinds of outreach we do with our community? So they've done a survey last year to begin this work. She's working with a community as well as staff committee, and then you surveyed again this fall, did you not, Lori, or this winter?
The employees, we surveyed the employees this year. And then last year we completed a health risk assessment, which is designed for school-wide assessment of community, family involvement, curriculum, policy, so it's not just an employee piece, it's pretty...
The whole community.
That can be completed as a contest.
And then next year, recommending that, excuse me, that a wellness committee be established at each of our buildings with an oversight or kind of a district-wide committee that would meet maybe quarterly or bi-yearly, you know, twice a year or something, to look at what we're doing as a system to create a culture of wellness for our employees. So wellness on two fronts, both our larger community as well as our and communications, you know, I'll mention this first, even though it's the last bullet on here. Julie has taken over all of the grant work in the district, and that's been a huge task, and I want to not only give her kudos for learning really some very complex things with as it relates to state and federal grants, but also working very collaboratively with all of the staff here and staff out in our buildings, and been able to get us two competitive grants for next year, working this summer and into the fall. One is a foreign language planning grant, so we'll begin to be able to look at expanding our language program, and also the bullying grant that we really thought we might not be prepared to get because we weren't far enough along in our process, but she was able to get that. I think that's not only testimony to her attention to detail, but also her, you know, her great writing ability, which helps us. And of course, everybody in this room has supported her and worked with her to have that success. But that's been a very successful and great transition. Parent Involvement Committee has continued to grow and evolve as a really productive and successful outreach to our community and our parents. And, you know, we use the framework of opportunity, invitation, and access as that kind of theoretical framework around which all involvement should occur. And in terms of being very explicit and planned in that, each of the activities that they have planned, which relate to either core curriculum, math, literacy, and then health and wellness this year, have drawn increasing numbers, over 150 people who have attended these, and families that are extended families, bringing fathers, bringing all the siblings together. It's been really a great success and increased partnership with the PTA around this effort. I think the group believes that ultimately it would like to put itself out of business so that every school is doing its own outreach. But what we've been able to learn
We're doing a district-wide community or parent involvement is the kinds of things that we know produce success, and the kinds of outreach, the kinds of things that bring families who may feel as though they have less invitation, less access out to these events and to learn from them. So very successful work. Second year for our staff, student, parent, and community survey. We'll be getting the results from that in the near future, and using that information, hopefully, to create some targets on our scorecard that will allow us to really move, because last year was baseline data. So that's kind of it in a fast pace getting through there, and I know I didn't let you ask any questions throughout, but thanks for letting me get through it. And now, if you have questions for any of us, we'd be happy to answer them.
We have
Well, surveys are still open. We have a stronger response from parents. We have a lower response from support from community and from alumni.
I
mean,
my question is, well,
yes,
I heard it while he told me. I didn't
even tell Molly. Good for you, Dad.
Do we have any more program reviews coming through?
Not right now. Probably cycle that back through in another.
Not for a few more years.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean by program?
Well, we did the
special education,
special ed, the preschool
reading
and gifted. I mean, over the years that we've done, you know, a bunch of different ones. So I didn't know if we had any others on the horizon.
Nothing coming up right now. Well, I would say the next we will be reviewing will be back to gifted and reading for.
Okay.
And Hadley, we'll start Hadley next year. So I guess, in one sense, Hadley is up for not a review, but we'll be evaluating the implementation of HNH next year.
Okay. Just some comments to add to this. Under technology, I think it's a really important reality check. And I know that probably all of us are seeing this even in our work world, too, that the expectation of using technology means an increased need to really understand how to use it, which is training and learning and development. And so your point about that, and I think it's really important for us to think about in terms of the long-range plan and our discussion around supporting technology, that you can't expect that to happen without the support so that people feel comfortable using it. And we all know the frustration of having technology that we can't access or understand. So it's you know, that for me is always that's that whole capacity thing you've talked about, Ann. Under finance and facilities, I'm wondering how we're communicating to internal constituents and then also external parents, community members, the model classroom approach. So we're leveraging this move, which I think is wonderful. So that's rhetorical, but I think we miss up. You know, I don't want to miss an opportunity to get that out there and get it out early so that people understand what's going on, because I think it's great. And it shows the district's capacity to continue to improve itself in the midst of this other, you know, lateral conversation about master facility work, that we're not stopping dead in our tracks. We're decision making at the same time, which is great. And then under human resources, I know we have a lot of data from the last few years, especially of our professional development and how much improved faculty and staff have seen that, how much they appreciate the focus on what their needs are, that the speakers, I was speaking with a couple of teachers just a couple of weeks ago that talked about how much improved the general plenary sessions are, but then also the individual ones. But are we also collecting data around targeted learning time and school improvement planning time, where they have that time to be together? Are we seeing, are they sharing the value of that in the way that you were hoping it would come out? Again, rhetorical, I'm not expecting an answer, but I think that's important because it's also, again, a community conversation around what is this time being used for. So,
I think I can answer generally that question, mm-hmm. though. We aren't collecting any quantitative data mm-hmm. around targeted learning time. Mm-hmm. We're looking at MAP scores.
Yeah.
I mean, we're looking at student learning.
Right.
And several of our schools, or I should say a couple of our schools, have surveyed implementation of a professional learning community and where are we in the implementation. Mm-hmm. So I think that gets at some of that collaboration time and what we're doing during that time and whether or not it's effective.
And then kudos, Julie, because I know you talked about those grants and how daunting potentially they would be in terms of getting them. So pat on the back for you. And you should communicate your success. I think it's great. And I love getting District 87's e-news because there isn't a thing that they don't accomplish that isn't out there for people to see. And it's just this, I just think it's wonderful. I think we do a great job of that. But these type of things, I think, are really important because both of these hit on right now, currently, really important issues for many parents and community members, too. So so kudos to that, and write yourself up. So thank you.
Take your
own picture, like the kids do on Facebook. And then I just had a couple questions around PBIS, but I'm going to do that independently because it's more of a conversation just to understand that better and how that worked in the classroom.
We'll I'm sure we'll do a presentation in the fall on PBIS when it's fully implemented in all of our schools.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam. Okay, any other comments? Next on to the consent agenda. Are there any board members who would like removed from the consent agenda any items to be considered separately? Okay, hearing none. May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, which includes the following items. Number one, human resources, personnel report, employment recommendations, and internal transfers. And there's a blue sheet that was provided on our table for that. Second, finance, facilities, and operations, the treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue expenditure summary report, summary of bills and payroll, school district payment order, vandalism and damage report, disposal of surplus property report, the 2010-2011 FOIA report, and number three, other matters, board meeting minutes, May 2nd, regular and reorganization meeting, board policy number 4.30, investments, second reading and adoption, and then last one is the case board meeting action items.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr.
Bondrad? Yes.
Mr. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Allen?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Superintendent's recommendations? there are no additional recommendations for board action this evening. Superintendent's report.
I'll just give two quick pieces of information. I want to give kudos to everyone here today who worked around some challenging issues while I was out of the district, and I want to say thanks to them and to the communication that was sent out for some unusual circumstances. One, to begin the day where students may not be able to get to school in their usual routes, and got that out communicated in a very timely manner, and then a situation that occurred in the community that could have potentially had an impact on Lincoln School response that was made to that immediately in order to assure families that their children were safe and that we were taking due caution. So I want to give kudos to Julie and those who worked with her in my absence to get all of that out.
Thank you.
Can I just, I just want to make one comment about the communications that were out. They were very good, and I mean, I think you gave as much information as you could, and the only question that I had gotten from parents, people, you know, they kept calling it a lockdown, and I kept saying, it's not a lockdown, and I said, there's nothing that says that we are in lockdown, it just says the kids are not going outside. So I think, I don't know how to communicate that or how to explain what that is, but when parents hear the kids aren't going outside, they're thinking, you know, oh my gosh, we're in a lockdown situation. And I said, that's a completely separate action. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we have to specifically say the students are not in lockdown, they're just being kept in the building, but there, or I don't know how you, again, I don't know how to communicate that, but just so you know, that was, those were some of the kinds of questions that, you know, I had, people had asked.
It's an ongoing dilemma.
Right.
In terms of how to communicate effectively when...
Well, and even with the staff, because
well,
I think, you know,
the kids
had, Hadley had come and, you know, made a few comments about, you know, some kids had absolutely no idea what was happening, mm-hmm. which is what we want,
mm-hmm.
and then other students, you know, their teachers were perhaps a little panicky or maybe in the passing period, and so there were some questions about, you know, about that. So, just letting you know.
Thank you.
Okay, board reports. Any members of the board who have a report to give tonight?
We had LLT last week, and we reviewed the PDSA for the physical education curriculum. They had asked previously to be part of the cycle and for review, so that was discussed, as well as the foreign language planning grant that was talked about. And then we discussed many of the accomplishments that we have this year in LLT, and then, opportunities for next year and how to build upon some of the accomplishments and just some more information that we had. So creatively called opportunities. and then we discussed the T21 framework, but and just how we're looking at Common Core and looking at 21st century learning. And there'll be a little bit of changeover with that committee, but not too many people. So, and I've given Maureen my written report.
Great. Thank you. Anything else?
I have a report. Mm-hmm. I went to the Hadley PTA, and they had their wrap meeting, their final meeting for the year. Talked to them about the Hadley Courtyard. They were thrilled, absolutely happy about the changes that are planned for that. It's a good meeting.
Good. Thank you. Anybody else?
I had the jazz band concert. It was very good. All the parents really enjoyed it. They played 6 or 7 songs.
Yeah.
They had a reception afterwards.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, excellent.
And it sounded like there was a lot of positive feedback from the elementary schools that, mm-hmm. that were at Hadley this week or last week,
mm-hmm.
With the concert, and even comments about how well behaved the kids, you know, just
yeah,
what a nice job that everybody did.
Yeah, I volunteered that day, and it's the 3rd and 4th graders, 4th and 5th are next year doing, you know, demonstrations of orchestra on one side, band on the other, and... when you're there and seeing the, you know, just the sheer numbers of potential kids mm-hmm. getting involved, it speaks to Mr. DiPaolo's request to segment out more learning for 6th grade in terms of learning jazz, which is a different kind of playing, because you know that those children are going to come up. So they were great, and the kids were great, and the teachers had a blast. And Georgia Olemus and Jim DiPaolo did a great job of engaging the kids, so it was fun. And the jazz band concert was great.
I attended the orchestra, the Hadley Orchestra, May 2nd at mm-hmm. West, and I have to say that I was very impressed with these kids and their passion and their dedication, really. For me, you never know what to expect in the grade school orchestras. These kids were really good, and I didn't know, they have this honor status, which is the highest honor mm-hmm. Awarded mm-hmm. in the state. I had no idea. This is the 9th consecutive year. Mm-hmm. So Mrs. Olemus obviously is continuing the excellence that has already been there. So kudos to them.
Thank you. Pass it on.
I also attended the Glenmore Parent Series talk.
Oh, me too.
Oh, yeah.
The one in the evening. I heard the one in the afternoon was really packed, too.
Yeah. At Mark Clark.
About the rubber bands and all that stuff, too. This one was boys and girls differences from the neck up. And so it was kind of interesting. But there's things like colors and stuff, you know, how, you know, with a classic analogy, you know, you can, a woman will go through paint samples in their eggshell and, you know, cream and all this. The guys are all white, you know. They're just different, you know. Or women are tuned to the human voice. Mm-hmm. So if a teacher talks too loud, you know, the girls just tune it out. It's, they can't relate to, they just want normal speaking voice, where mm-hmm. sometimes the boys might need other types of, you know, mm-hmm. stimulation. So it was very interesting in mm-hmm. that respect. So I don't know if any of our new things are going to take those psychological matters into account at all. Mm-hmm.
The speaker that
it's the same lady.
It was the same same speaker in the afternoon, and it was interesting because I think she had a lot of what she presented was also presented in the evening. So I'm not sure how much of a difference it was, but for those of us who, you know, were there to just listen to girls, it was really very interesting, and I think, you know, some really interesting opportunities for professional development and. That she had talked about, even just, you know, books, but, you know, a couple of speakers, not just, not necessarily her, but some of the other types of speakers and different, you know, different ways of learning. And she was, it was very interesting. I mean, I was surprised to hear how many people have actually attended this series. I mean, we all, you know, speakers are brought in all the time and you really don't know what the attendance pattern is. But, I mean, I have to say that afternoon, looking around the room, mm-hmm. I recognized a large majority of people as District 41 parents that were there, and it's something that's open to all of our mm-hmm. Clombart mm-hmm. Theater schools and within our district. But it was just, it was, you can really see that our parents are taking that opportunity.
Yeah, PTA Council has done a very good job in the parent education yeah. chair over the last 2 years, especially to push that information out, in great support from Julie as well, but have made some nice alliances with District 87, and I think that's why our attendance has increased. And the speaker was Joanne Deek, right, Dr. Joanne yeah. Deek? Just a great potential speaker for an opening day because she really spoke to all levels of curricula, whether it was physical education or health classes, core curricula, art, music, all those pieces really centered around social emotional learning characteristics. Mm-hmm. So she was terrific. And I encourage any of us, if we can get to those, I think it provides a lens for us to better understand on a high level what our teachers and staff are having to think about, consider, et cetera, just from a learning basis of our kids and how, you know, the opportunities and the challenges as well. So I agree with you guys. It was she was fantastic. Anything else? All right. I have a couple things I'll put under board report. And it's one of them is, and this is more of a personal, but this week, actually on the same day, I believe, the district lost two former teachers or staff members. One, Dorothy Lowe, who was the head of the LLC at Churchill School, passed away. I was at her memorial service yesterday. And so I wanted to share that and get that on the record. And then a former third grade teacher, at least if not other grades, Marilyn Matheson, who was also at Churchill School and who also passed away. So I wanted to share that. The other thing is, Ann put in the Thursday letter, and I highlighted this because this is going to come up quickly, and then Maureen will be emailing us about the III conference. So starting June 6th, and different this year is the fact that registration is going to be all online, correct? Or
the information,
yeah.
It won't be mailed. So
right. So
we download and send it.
But we still have to mail it off.
We still have to mail it off. That but there's a little different. Yeah, they're not quite there yet. But a little bit of urgency in terms of us getting that information to you. So it's always the weekend before Thanksgiving, correct? So I think it's 18, 19, something like that. And in the past, as Ann said, we've afforded the opportunity for board members to stay over on the Friday night. To attend some of that reception time together, as well as have some board time together. And so I wanted to get just a quick read from board members if we're still on board with, no pun intended, agree to that? Agree? Friday night? Up. Okay. And then if you can check your calendars and then get back and copy Ann and Maureen as well so we can see who is able to go. So thank you for doing that. And then I see that Sam has brought his data sheet, which was in our packet from last week, so thank you for doing that, Sam. And for the rest of us, if there's any updates to this information, I know that the last page was a new summary sheet with all of our information, so we should check that if our cell phone numbers or anything have changed, we can give that to her as well. So thank you for doing all that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, if we get on some kind of spam list, I just noticed we get a ton more mail to the D41.
Yeah, I've got to clean that up.
I don't know if the CDC, like, signed us up. Some of them seem to be talking about, oh, just all these different
sales
companies
things,
that say the educational seminars and other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some of it looked like maybe it came from the CDC, but I don't know.
I haven't gotten too much. I mean, sometimes part of it could be, you're as listed as board president, you might have been getting direct.
I guess that's true, because I was getting some secretary-related.
Yeah, because I used to get a lot more of it, and I don't get quite as much anymore.
Things that, you know, I'm not going to choose our janitorial supplies or anything like that.
Sure. No. Thank you. Anything else for board reports? All right, thank you. Under discussion items, there's one item, and that is the board committee liaison representatives. And so I was able to talk to some folks and actually everybody. And then and thank you for sending me via email and or in conversation your interest. So based on the feedback from board members and interests, here are the committee assignments for this coming year. Tara will continue to serve on LLT. Thank you for doing that. Steve will serve on Finance Committee. Welcome back. Drew will serve on Finance Committee and also as chair, and also is interested in continuing with PEP. So unless there's some other interest in that, he will continue with that. Dan will move over to Finance Committee. Thank you for doing that. And he and I are going to talk also about Supplemental Pay Committee in terms of him potentially rolling on to that. So we had a little bit of conversation via telephone on that, and I think would be a nice opportunity also to better understand some of the Hadley activities, et cetera. So he and I are going to speak about that. Sam will serve on Policy Committee. Thank you. And also be the IASB Board Delegate Rep.
That was the one I actually really wanted.
It was first on his list.
I have all the templates you'll need.
Yes, he will pass those on to you. And you get a pin, your own pin. So.
And a special ribbon on the bottom.
Yeah, it is special.
So many perks all the time.
Exactly. So thank you, Sam. Erica, I will serve on CIT as board president does. I will continue to attend LEND. I had to miss a few this past few months, but I want to continue to do that. And I'm going to continue to serve on policy committee at least this year to transition Sam and continue that as well. John emailed me at the end of the last meeting, our reorganization meeting, that he was not interested in serving on a committee this year. So I will honor that. And with one note to this, Dan and I have completed Section 8 of the policy manual. I just turned over that sample to Sam. So he and I will set up a meeting with Ann and Maureen to continue that process. So thank you, Dan, for getting that feedback to me. And that is that. So if you need it written down, I have this. I'll give this to Maureen so she has the copy of it.
Are we also going to talk to the PTA council about?
Well, we haven't had a chance to do that yet. That probably will be.
Yeah, I have that on a note for to discuss with Anna at a president's meeting, too. So. And speaking of president's meeting, I haven't identified a day. I need to check with Ann on schedule for that. But as soon as I do that, I will let people know. And I think I'm going to try and shift it to 7:30. So that might be, I don't know if that's more helpful or not to people. But we'll see. And I'll let you know based on schedule. Is it 7:30? Terry, you were at 7. Yeah, so I'm thinking a whole year back. So I'll let people know. And I really encourage anybody that can make those meetings. It's always helpful for me to sit in with either a Tara meeting or a Steve meeting and, just allow some, different level of conversation. So I welcome that, and I'll let you know. We'll look at our schedule.
Sometimes they do them at different times to accommodate people's schedules. So
right.
Can be
yeah. If it needs to be later in the morning and we can accommodate that, wonderful. So, let us know. And that's it. Thank you.
And we'll also always meet with somebody online.
Absolutely.
Yeah, doors open.
They need to bring it up to the board meeting and talk to her about it first.
Yeah, thank you. All right, thank you very much. Upcoming meetings are June 6th, the regular meeting at 7:30 here at Central Services, and then June 20th, regular meeting here at Central Services. I will inform you now that I will be away on the 20th. on a mission actually through my church with my daughter. So, Drew, you will be facilitating that, leading that meeting on the 20th. And I will also make a formal announcement to Ann and Maureen. Are there any other meetings, matters to come before the board?
Erica, do we have any time? I mean, are you going to throw out some times about a board retreat or something?
Yes.
I'm going to goal set.
This week I want to try and grab a meeting with Ann. We spoke a little bit about it with my transition meeting with Steve last week.
But
we're thinking about how to structure that. And, you know, like we talked about a Saturday morning or something like that.
Okay.
Sam already has talked with Ann about board transition for him to get on board and how he wants to kind of, I guess I'll call it, chunk the learning.
We have a meeting set up for the 24th.
They have a meeting set up
with cabinet.
Yeah, so Sam will get that going. But yes, we will.
Okay.
Any other matters, including that one? Thank you. Okay. Are there any members of the public who wish to address the board? Hearing none. We have need to move to adjourn to a closed session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity, a student disciplinary cases, or litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular district has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the district finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the closed session minutes. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Nelson?
Yes.
Going to the nation?
No, it doesn't. No. Thank you very much.